Hi, everyone. It's Kelly here with Dr. Jay Greenstein. He's the CEO of Sport and Spine Rehab. We are going to be discussing today some of the research behind chiropractic treatment schedules, specifically for the patients that come in. Sometimes have questions about why they come a certain number of times a week for a certain length of time. So we really just want to get some of the evidence and discuss some of the more controversial points around this topic.
Great. So, looking forward to it.
Awesome. Let's just dive right in. So I know a lot of people out there have probably had this experience before or heard someone talk about this where they go to a chiropractor, they have a great appointment, and they end up at the end of the appointment finding out that they need to come back for three times a week for the next 4 weeks or something along those lines. And people are not ready for that or not ready to hear that. And they think that the chiropractor is just wanting to get their money. They don't understand the research behind it. So what are your thoughts on this scenario?
Well, I think you describe a very common scenario. Patients absolutely don't know what to expect. And in some situations, providers may not know the best evidence to provide to a patient around their treatment planning. It might be something they learned in school, but they don't really know where the evidence came from. In 1992, there was something created called the Mercy Document, where a group of an interdisciplinary panel, MDs, chiropractors, PhDs, they looked at the evidence and they created a treatment frequency and duration guideline for providers and specifically to help providers with their patients. And what they found in looking at all literature and surveying providers from around the country, from different parts of the country and different types of practices, was that in an acute, uncomplicated case of spine-related pain, neck pain, back pain, mid-back pain, the typical course of treatment was going to be three times a week for the first 4 weeks, and then afterwards, anywhere between one to three times a week for up to maybe another four to eight weeks. There are some comorbidities or what we call confounding variables in research where if a patient had pre-existing symptoms, they had pain more than 7 days before they reach the chiropractor. If they have skeletal anomalies like degeneration or some genetic abnormality, or if they had severe pain, treatment could take 1.5 times to 2 times longer. Mm-hmm. And this is based on the evidence. Recently, another clinical practice guideline has come out and been published. And basically supports the same results. This is about how long it takes for patients to respond to conservative care. The analogy that I like to give to patients is, you know, if you're deconditioned and you go to the gym and, you know, you haven't worked out, let's say in a month or a year or forever, yeah. You're not going to become strong in one visit. You're just not. You may feel better in one visit, except for maybe the next day when you'll have some delayed onset muscle soreness if you've worked out hard enough, but you're not going to be healthy. And so it takes time for conservative care to work. We're working on improving mobility. We're working on improving flexibility. We're working on improving strength, activation of certain muscle groups, coordination, balance, what we call proprioception, which is helping patients know where their body is in space. And that just takes time because there is the physical element of the muscles getting stronger and the joints becoming more mobile. But then there's also the neurologic component of retraining the muscles and making sure those motor patterns exist to allow for and ensure full range of motion, appropriate contraction, appropriate stabilization. Another example I would give is a baby learning how to walk. They don't stand on their legs and walk in one day because neurologically it takes time for those motor patterns to be created. And so it just takes time for treatment to occur. What we've learned also is that, especially as it relates to the first 2 to 3 weeks, that treatment frequency in the beginning is very, very important. So Kelly, you've heard me talk about this study many times, the Haas study, where he looked at a population of patients and one subpopulation got treated one time a week. Another subpopulation got treated twice a week. A third one got treated three times a week, and a fourth subpopulation got treated four times a week. And they evaluated these patients based on their improvements in pain and also in disability. And what they found is that the more frequently patients were treated, the faster they got better, the less pain they had, the less disability they had. So the first 2 to 3 weeks is really, really important.
So during that study, were they treated with just chiropractic adjustments? Did they have rehab along with it? Do you know what kind of treatment they had?
Such a great question. And in fact, it was just chiropractic adjustments. And in fact, when the MERCY guidelines were created, you know, many years ago, they were looking specifically at the chiropractic adjustment. Mm-hmm. Now, what we've learned through the evidence is that, you know, combined care, multimodal care, using a variety of tools based on what the patient needs, which is what you find out when you do your consultation and when you do your examination, you determine what's going to be best for the patient. We understand that multimodal care, combination of adjustments, of soft tissue treatment, of exercise, sometimes dry needling, sometimes kinesiology taping, all of these little tools that we can use that we have at our disposal that are evidence-based helps the patients get better faster. And as you know, the way we grew our practices to 6 practices and treating thousands of new lives every single year is because we've combined those modalities, we've combined those tools to allow patients to get better faster. And our patient visit average is 10, which is really significantly less than what, mm-hmm. when you look at the evidence, you know, acute patient's going to be treated somewhere between 12 to 18 visits. A chronic patient may be treated, you know, somewhere between 18 and 24 visits, maybe sometimes longer, depending on the severity. You know, we're at around 10 as an average. So the reason that occurs is because we've created, you know, what we've created in our practice, which is an evidence-based multimodal approach to conservative care.
And it seems to be working quite well. So what do you say to someone who's feeling better about halfway through their treatment and they want to take it down a few notches or stop coming altogether?
A great question. You know, patient values are, you know, they're here because they want a certain result. And I think we have to honor that result. If they decide that they want to stop their treatment when their pain goes away and not necessarily when their full function has returned, they certainly have the option and the opportunity to do that. We will educate them, however, and inform them that if they stop before they've completed their rehab, before they've gotten full function back based on our evaluation, that their problem may return. And that just becomes more timely and more costly for them. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person that just likes to finish what I start. And I want to know that when that patient is discharged, they're truly functionally better.
Absolutely.
Pain is the last thing to show up. It's the first thing to go away. And so we know that patients most of the time are not functionally better, even when their symptoms are gone. And so we want to make sure that they're fully rehabilitated. And that takes a few extra visits to get them to that point. And we hope that they make that decision. But if they don't, certainly that's their decision to make.
Awesome. What kind of evidence do you know surrounding maintenance care? So for the patients that want to come in maybe once a month, for the rest of the year, for the rest of their life, what type of evidence is there?
Yeah. So there's anecdotal evidence and the 70,000 chiropractors out there that have been treating patients for years and providing maintenance care know that maintenance care helps to keep patients healthy. I mean, I don't think you'd ask any chiropractor and they would say, oh no, it doesn't help patients. It absolutely does. The great thing is that in the last several years there have been several studies that have come out and actually demonstrated that maintenance care helps to reduce or eliminate pain and disability after the initial course of care has been completed. There was an article published by Senna, and there was another article published by Cifuentes, both demonstrating that maintenance care actually helped to reduce and or eliminate pain and disability for those patients moving forward. And again, it really comes down to patient values. When we're getting towards the end of care with patients, we explain to them the benefits of maintenance care and let them make their own decision. I think it's also important for patients to understand there's a difference between maintenance care and supportive care. Maintenance care is a fully rehabilitated, asymptomatic patient who wants wellness. They want prevention. I think that's the smart thing to do, especially in this day and age where the cost of care, the burden of the cost of care is being borne more and more by the patient. Now there's also something called supportive care. And supportive care is more for the patient who has a chronic condition, and actually their condition will deteriorate if they don't receive some level of care. And so those two things are different, and depending on what the patient's needs are, we can make recommendations accordingly.
Awesome. So what do our doctors at Sport and Spine Rehab take into account when they're coming up with a treatment plan for someone?
So first and foremost, it's what the patient has told them during their consultation history, what they found during the examination, what their clinical experience tells them should be done. So what's worked in the past for them for these types of patients, what the evidence says about what should be done for this population of patients who come in with the same or similar conditions. And then, of course, talking to the patient about their values. We make a recommendation. Every recommendation is going to be patient specific. Some patients might require 3 times a week for 2 weeks. Some patients might require three times a week for 18 weeks. Some patients may require one visit. Mm-hmm. So it just really depends. And again, it's a combination of their own personal experience and the success they've had with patients, what the literature says. And we've talked about some of the literature, like the Haas study and the guidelines that have been created over the years for treatment frequency and duration. And then talking to the patient about, this is what the evidence says. This is what my experience is. You know, how do you feel about this recommendation that's been being made for you? What are you looking to get out of care? And then the patient gets to tell us, this is how I want to proceed.
So it's a conversation. It's not just a cookie cutter handout of this many times a week for this long, just because that's what they're used to doing. They really talk it out.
That's a great point. And it's absolutely a conversation. It has to be. We know that compliance is directly related to trust. And if our patients don't trust us, then they won't follow the recommended treatment plan. So they need to know where the knowledge and the evidence is coming from to make the recommendation, why we're making the recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then we have a conversation about it, and they get to choose. It's their body.
Yeah.
It's their life. It's their livelihood. So they get to choose.
Awesome. All right. So last but not least, what would you tell a friend who's hesitant to go to a chiropractor because they hear stories of having to go to a chiropractor for so long and they're spending all their money and wasting all their money? What would you tell that person?
You know, Kelly, I've had experiences over the years of patients who've been to either other chiropractors or other therapists or other healthcare providers and not had a good result. And mm-hmm. you know, the funny thing that you mentioned in your question was, you know, what would you say to a friend? Well, let's face it, my friends don't listen to me, right? They remember me from college or high school or from, you know, some convention. So they don't listen to me. But in all seriousness, when I do, and I do have actually lots of friends that are patients, and it's a blessing. But when they do ask that question or they have questions about that, the analogy is really simple. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant and had a bad meal? And yeah. They'll say, well, yeah, right? Everybody has. And I say, does that mean that you stop eating out? And the answer is typically no. And so the analogy is, just because you might not have had a good experience doesn't necessarily mean that that is the entire experience for the profession. And so you know, we have great relationships with MDs in our community. We get hundreds of referrals, thousands of referrals a year mm-hmm. from the medical community. And, you know, they say the same thing. You know, they've had that experience with their own patients where they've been to another orthopedist and had not had a good response. And they're coming to this spine surgeon who's world renowned, and they get a good result because, right. You know, there's a difference in quality sometimes depending on who you see. You know, the recommendation for, you know, treatment frequency and duration is a very individual one. It again depends on how the patient presents and what their functional issues are and what their values are. So again, finding a healthcare provider that delivers an individualized treatment plan that's based on the evidence is really going to be beneficial for that patient in the long run.
Wonderful. Well, that's all I had for questions. Do you have any other points you want to bring up, Lori?
Well, I just, you know, a real quick point. As you know, Kelly, there was some great news that came out yesterday from the American College of Physicians. They came out with their most recent clinical practice guideline, the highest level of evidence that there is in clinical practice and research. And they came out and their first recommendation and their second recommendation for 1, acute low back pain, and 2, chronic back pain, was that the things that we do at Sport and Spine Rehab, chiropractic adjustments, soft tissue, exercise, rehabilitation, are to be recommended to patients prior to the initiation of medication. And that came out from the American College of Physicians. That was yesterday, February 14th, 2017. It's a huge shift for the medical community. I commend the American College of Physicians for putting that information out there based on the evidence. And now patients have the opportunity to acquire and have access to all natural, conservative, evidence-based care that will actually get them functionally well and reduce the need, and in fact, eliminate the need for not only the over-the-counter medications, but also the more harmful drugs and addictive drugs like the opioids. So,
absolutely.
Great news.
Awesome. Very exciting to hear. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to answer some of these questions. I know I had a friend just this past weekend who was asking me some of these very similar questions, and I was like, oh, wait till next week. You'll have a whole podcast video you can listen to. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Kelly. I really enjoyed it. Have a good one.
You too.